to make sure, just to make sure that we can hear him.
Have you got some talking on him already?
Oh, yeah, I got 2.5 hours of just in the cemetery. We just drove up and down all the roads, and he told me all the stories of the cemetery. So, anyway, well, let's see if this... Yeah.
And he lived up in Island City. I can't tell you his name now. But if I look it up in the book, I...
Get going here.
I'm going to set it right there. Everything's moving, I guess. Okay.
Okay, Emery, we want you to start by... You don't have to... It'll hold. You can just talk in normal time. We want you to start with the first Olivers that came into the valley.
Well, the first Olivers... he was my great-grandfather, and his name was
Hiram.
No.
No, now we... Oh, no, great-grandfather, yeah.
Great-grandfather, his name was... Elijah Turner Oliver was his name.
Okay, Elijah Turner.
Elijah Turner Oliver. And he was... As far as we ever can find out, he was born in the Kentucky Territory. But that took in all the states back
then.
But him and my grandmother, they homesteaded, and they had a house down near the creek, right down toward the creek where Tom Craig got his house now.
Okay.
And anyway, there was a spring there. Tom Craig pumped water out of that spring up to his house. Anyway, my dad always called that Granddad's Spring. That's where he got his water. And anyway, when the Oliver train came in 64, they came from Iowa. They did it. Indiana and Illinois before that. But anyway, Iowa, and they came from Iowa. And there was three of my great granddad's sons, Hiram Oliver, which is my granddad, son of Miss Thornton's Backroom School House up here. And then there was one son, he settled over Pomeroy, Washington. He went to Portland first, then went to Pomeroy, Washington. And the other son, he settled in Portland, Oregon. The one in Portland, Oregon, he had three sons, or four sons. One died pretty young. One of them was an engineer, and he laid out the watershed for Portland, Oregon. Right, the Blue Run watershed in Portland. Charlie Oliver was his name.
There we go.
And he worked for him. Portland watershed all his life, practically. One that I named after Emery Oliver. He was a surveyor for the railroads. And anyway, he run the first job he had was run the train up to Heppner. And then he went on and other work for him. And he had a big grade in California, and everybody said it couldn't be surveyed, and he surveyed it. I can't tell you the name of it. Grade in California. Anyway, well, he got to be a millionaire. And he took, before he died, he took a trip around the world, didn't he? And they were all Masons.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, one, this woman, he also had one son, his younger son. He was a railway mail clerk. And a long time, the folks would get a letter or something, he'd scratch up, "How are you all over the better of the day?" Anyway, I met his son. He's still alive. He's 94 years old.
Well, I was just going to say, is he about your age? Yeah. So that was your, that was your dad's generation. And then, so your dad then, You were born, what year were you born?
I was born 1912.
1912.
Yeah, my dad was born. I can get the book up.
Yeah. 1886. So he, you, in 1912, well, so he was about, he's 30. Now, okay, were you you were the last child born?
No, my daughter, my sister, Madeline, lived before her. She was 2 years younger.
2 years younger.
Yeah, was 2 years younger.
Now, in the second family, were you, who else?
Was Harold, my older brother.
So there were the three?
Three of us.
Three
in the first group.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just go through that. Do you want to? Is that talking about that fire? Is that all right?
Yeah,
okay. Well, why don't you tell us how old were your brothers and sisters when that fire happened? Remember? Just a little background here. Is Emory's mother and father lost their first three children in a house, tragic house fire, and then. And Emory is the second family, so when we're talking about first and second families, people will understand.
The fire was 7/6.
She died 7/6,
1919.
The fire was
on the 4th. On the 4th of July? Yeah. Was it really? Yeah, well, 15 days before they died, they got burned real bad. Second child was Lawrence, W-R-E-N-C-E. He born 12/11/1906. And Howard, just a baby, he was born 11/11/1908.
So he was only a year old or so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he die in the fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Anyway, Bessie Oliver. She was born in 1870. My mother.
Mm-hmm. Now, what year did your dad die?
Born 1884.
Okay. 1962. Okay, now, when did now, what was the spread between the kids that died and the next child? How many years?
Harold was born 1910.
Oh, so it was just a year after the fire, your folks had another baby. Okay. I see.
And he was born in a little house, playing room in the wreckage of it. Had it painted yellow. And right there, up in the factory school ground, Ellen Alvey's, over next to the church.
Oh, it was?
There was that open house there.
Oh, I see. And then they lived there till they built the new house. And the new house was built what year?
1990.
It was. Oh, okay. So they got right in and built their house. I see. Okay. Well, what year did you start school then? Within 1918, and you started in the Dry Creek School. 1918. And that, guys, that school would have been 30-some years old then, wasn't it, when you started?
The first school was down in this lower end down there, just above Smitty's Mill.
Yeah, in the gravel pit?
Well,
kind of right in there.
Close to it. Yeah. Just a bit north of it. There's trees in there that big around.
That was on the side, on the west side of the road?
West side of the road.
Okay, oh, I see. Mm-hmm. But you went to the new school.
Yeah.
Do you remember how many kids approximately were going to school then?
Well, it was about 15 of us.
15?
20.
Do you remember who the teacher was?
Huh?
Can you remember who the teacher was?
Yeah. The first teacher was Marcy Becker.
Marcy Becker.
Mm-hmm.
How long did she teach there?
Well, she taught there 2 or 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And she lived down here in this house of West Views down.
Oh, really?
The year before that, there was a winter part of the year, there was never a pool. There's a fellow named Spencer Birch.
Really cool. I've heard that name. I must have read that in the book.
Anyway, then March Patrick put me through two grades in 1 year, which was a big mistake.
Was it?
And my third year teacher then was never wanted to marry him. Can't even think of it right now.
Well, that'll come to you later.
Anyway.
So you went there through the eighth grade, right?
Yeah, I went through the eighth grade.
And then you went to Amboy.
This woman, my sister, wrote this book. She was my eighth grade teacher.
Oh, was she? So that would have been Rush? Was her last name Rush?
No.
Teeter. Okay.
Yeah.
Teeter. That wasn't...
Edna Rush's sister.
Okay, Edna Rush's
sister. She married Whitty. She married Charles Whitty.
Okay.
The year before that, well, 2 years before that, my friend McGinnis talked.
Oh, okay.
From the Western School. Anyway, he got kind of honor that year, so they went over to Loud, and I had Elmer to come over to see the chief and his sister, Bessie Hale, and Mrs. Arnoldus over there.
Oh, I see.
His maiden name was Woods. Boy, I'll tell you now, she didn't have no trouble with him.
Is that right?
Boy, he had us scared to death. Big roll room. Well, she let us know right quick who was boss right there.
And you knew.
That's cool.
What was your favorite subject?
Huh?
Did you have a favorite subject in school?
I liked arithmetic.
Did you?
Math.
Did you, now when you got into high school, was that still your favorite?
Yeah.
And you went 4 years down here?
4 years, yeah.
Emblem.
And anyway, when I was a sophomore in high school, we'd be up in the gymnasium, Wayne Hall. Out there.
Really?
And us kids worked on that. All the boys took agriculture that day.
Yeah.
And they said, he was an agriculture teacher too. So he arranged for us boys to work a half a day on the gymnasium, and the other half a day to go to the other class.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, we started on that. We dug the laid it out. We dug the trenches for the foundations, and helped pour mixing more cement. And anyway, got up and subfloor. We put more slab on. And on the side, we tacked stuff on the side of the building, and they put stuff over the outside of that. We didn't help that. And when they got ready to shingle, we put our basketball shoes on. We went up and we did all the shingle. We'd have foot races up and down the top of that building.
Well, was this by the school that's there now?
Huh?
Was this gymnasium?
Yeah, it's still there. Wade Hall.
Oh, it's still there?
It's still there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. That's part of that building.
It's a small gymnasium now.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, that's probably the biggest gymnasium state or you ever had.
Yeah.
Nowadays, unions and stuff, they wouldn't allow a bunch of kids even around there.
They wouldn't do that. Wait, that would have been in the 20s then, probably, huh?
Yeah. I graduated in 1929.
Yeah. Well, just in time for the Depression, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you do when you got out of school? What was your first job?
Just working around.
Did you? Just trying to get by?
In them days, you get a dollar a day and board. Yeah. Working in some time.
Now, was your dad still farming at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Was he still, was he farming with horses then?
Horses, yeah.
Did he ever farm with a tractor?
No.
He never did.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the first tractor was that you ever farmed with?
I farmed with?
Yeah.
The first tractor I farmed with, after I got out of the Navy, I bought a Model A John Deere.
Oh, really? Well, you hadn't farmed with one before that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, when
I drove horses, cattle.
Yeah, but that was about it. Well, then, when did you go to work for Park? Was that after the war?
For horses?
Yeah.
Well, I started driving Derek on the heather and selling him hay when I was about 12 years old.
Yeah. And so then, but you didn't go into the service until you were in your 30s, did you?
No, I was 28.
Almost 28. And so basically you just...
I was really 27, yeah.
So you just kind of done farm work up to that. That's how you survived.
I went to California 2 different winters.
Uh-huh.
Picked fruit down there. Had an old neighbor that used to live where Brad Henderson lived. Okay. And he was head of it. Orange, California.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling us to pick a living so we make living.
There you go.
And his son, Ben, we went to California, matched down there, and worked. And I came home and then stayed there. Uh-huh. So a couple of years later, I'm Virgil Sanders, and we went down, we picked
food
all winter.
I'll be really? That. Well, I suppose any job was a good job,
any
huh?
Job was a good job.
Well then, what year was it that you enlisted?
In 1941. February 1941, I signed in.
Yeah. So that wasn't too long after Pearl Harbor. You were in
before.
There. Yeah. Before?
It was almost a year before.
Well, that's right. Okay. I got my chronological thing mixed up there.
I went to Hawaii. I got there in August. Mm-hmm. 41. And they put me on a Confederate Whitney, and I was on that when the war started.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get for the Whitney anyway. Confederate ship.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have enough bunks for everybody to have a bunk, so I had to have a cot and had to take your blankets all of them, fold them up, fold them away, and do a cot every morning. Anyway, I'm really glad to get off of that.
And was the one you were on when the attack happened?
Yeah. I had to go right down the hall as fast as I could.
Well, did that ship suffer any damage? Was it just the fact that it wasn't a big ship? Was the fact that it didn't get hit? Was it just luck? Or was the fact that they didn't want to hit it?
They were after the battleship.
The big ship, yeah.
We had been in bad shape to get her in there.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, these guys on the kind of made me a little disgusted anyway. I was supposed to put carry ammunition on this one deck. Machinery was on the terrace. Anyway, they couldn't find the key to the magazine. Finally, this one old chief there, he got a hold of a hammer and knocked the lock off of it. There's two or three of you guys come down and help me, and down he went. Of course, I'm back in line, wait. That was my job. Of course, there's a lot of others there. Somebody was surely supposed to be assigned to go down. Anyway, nobody wanted to go. Two or three of them on the foot of the boat. I had to go down there. Pretty quick, I got mad, and I said, get the hell out of the way. I should have thrown one or two of them down, but I didn't do it. Anyway, down I went. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody ever come to help us. Them guys that went too down, I had no ammunition. Anyway, about a week later, we'd moved over to them, on side of a cooler was hit. Working on that, they were. We put out a big old loudspeaker. Anybody wanted to go on the destroyer, they'd go to the exec office. These guys I worked for, like, boy, that's me. I'm going to go. He says, you're safer on here, you're being able to. I want to be on from the kill where that chap is dead. They never going to kill anybody. Up the exemption or somewhere. First one is that. He says, you sure you want to go to the store? And I said, yep, that's the one. Okay, get your stuff gathered then. I told the guy. Gathered the stuff all up. Well, they sent about 6 or 8 of us over there. We went down to Southridge. So I got there. And then there were all 3 medicine men. Yeah, right. Need somebody in that fire room. I just put me anywhere they want me. Before that, I was going to be either a pattern maker or a carpenter. Put me anywhere you want me, man. I said, you're going to the fire room. Okay.
So that'd be feeding. You were stoking the motors? Is that what you'd be doing?
Well, they use oil.
Oh, okay. So.
Heat that old black oil up to about 300 degrees.
Oh, really?
And then just pump her in there. And they have a time to change. They burn their faders. Boy, it's a hot place down there. Anyway, I went up down the fire room. So, hell, about 2 days after that, they got a crew together and we headed out to try to save Wake Island. We had the old Saratoga with us, a carrier. I don't know, 2 or 3 cruisers, a bunch of tin cans, and a supply ship with a bunch of stuff, troops and stuff. We got almost Wake Island. Anyway, the Americans, either submarines or planes or somebody, fought the Japs. They were in there waiting for us, regular fleet, but you had no chance of them. So we turned around and started back. And a couple of days later, when Steve home right after dark, all of a sudden, down the corner, submarine got in there, threw the torpedo into Saratoga. And I put a great big hole inside of it. She sped right up to 25 knots right quick. That big hole in her. Mm-hmm. We got the hell out of there. We got back to Pearl Harbor and started pulling in there. And we had one destroyer, each 4 corner wheel back on the left hand corner, rear corner. Here come a torpedo, a couple of them. The damn jet submarine was laying right there in the harbor. You come up and fire these 2 torpedoes. And the captain, Barsham, he gave her full speed ahead, he was going to take the destroyer in the bow of our ship to protect the Sarah. But he said he was going to go behind it, so next thing we backed down, torpedo just went right across in front of us, behind us, set up. And they had a bunch of planes out there dropping bombs. I don't know whether they got the submarine or not. I backed it in.
Did those torpedoes hit the Saratoga?
No.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, we pulled in there then, and a couple of days later, we got orders to take a supply ship down to Canton Island. It's just a little bit of an island below the equator, and it was where them flying boats they sent to Australia. Mm-hmm. They landed there, took all supplies and fuel there.
Would those be like PBYs?
Well, it's bigger.
Something bigger than
that. PBY. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we took this down there, gave back. It was going about 27 days, something like that. And gave back. By that time, they passed the sail enough to send it to Bremerton. Mm-hmm. So we got the job of bringing it to Bremerton. And we brought it into Bremerton. And we went down to Mare Island, way in there, and got more anti-aircraft guns put on. And took a convoy out to Pearl Harbor. And they sent us to Canton Island again. And this time we were out 28 days, even on one boiler. And anyway, when we steam on one boiler, just started back. We got a submarine alarm. The captain says, drop depth charges. One boiler, we weren't going very fast. precincts as he did, this speed captain is right then dropped depth charges. Only time then Lucy just shook that ship. But anyway, with a great big bunch of water come up, I couldn't see nothing behind. Everybody thought the thing went off too quick, you know. So the ship, they played the message over. And they saw the bow of the submarine go up and go down.
Yeah.
So we got full credit then for something. Then when we sent it.
Why were you just running on one boiler? Was that just
save fuel?
Save fuel, okay.
Yeah, and we was out better than 28 days.
Yeah.
We came in, we lucky to get in. They figured 28 days, they figured we would never make her in.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah, when we came in, we didn't have nothing to eat except beans and prunes.
Oh, is that right? Just canned goods, huh?
Anyway, we got where they played the message over there. Played the message over, ordered to bring us some bread and stuff. God, they got that bread in gunny sacks. God, it's still warm.
Oh, really?
Boy, these guys, they jump on and grab one of them, blow the bread out and tear it in two. Them guys stand there, their eyes big as dollars looking, you know, thought we're starving to death. Of course, they were a little show off, too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They gave you some time off then?
Oh no, then few days later, we went down to what they call Bora Bora.
Yeah, I know that is.
Yeah, we went down there. So we stayed all night at Bora Bora. In the bay then. Next morning, got in the wind, went out, and one boy came through the canal. They had a bunch of them old four stackers. Anyway, we took over. There were some other stories with it. We took over and started out through the Pacific. And so we got out to and they named the island now. Anyway, why the battle. Where they had a big battle out there.
That wasn't Midway, was it?
No, it was way before Midway.
Way before Midway, okay.
Anyway, we lost a carrier in this battle. Anyway, they had us stand right just inside the rig. We had all these other ships in the harbor. We were just inside the rig, standing all four boys ready to go, ready to get underway as high speed at any time.
Mm-hmm.
2 days. The battle was all over with. So then we went on over to New Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned the ship, most of them loose over there. And we took the old Dobbin, the bear ship, not like the Whitney. We took it over in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Do you have a good time in Australia?
That would happen, I'll tell you.
They're fun, aren't they? I've been to Australia. They're fun people.
Yeah, they're good people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Which town did you go to? Brisbane or Darwin?
We went to Sydney.
To Sydney, okay.
Yeah, we went to Sydney.
That's a beautiful harbor, isn't it?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. So anyway, then we went up and down the coast. We convoy ships up and down the coast of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
One place we went down there, some kind of a, they had a whole bunch of coal. I don't know where they got the coal from, and they took it down.
Hmm. Down to Australia.
It was a plane somewhere in Australia.
Oh, really?
And they took it south of Sydney somewhere.
Oh, really?
And then one trip we went down, and I don't know how far we was from Melbourne, but anyway. We tied up the dock. Australian. And they were with us. They tied outside of us and walked right across from where I was living up in Melbourne. I don't know how far they were from Melbourne. Anyway, they were on liberty. Our captain, he wouldn't give us liberty.
Mm.
So we never did get into Melbourne. Brisbane. Now it's available.
Mm-hmm. But you never went on, you were never, were you ever at Darwin?
No.
No.
No. Anyway, they went up down there for a while. Then finally went down to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And went into Wellington, New Zealand. And they picked up troops there. They had troops there. And we went up, you know, the island was. And they practiced landing on this island. So then we went there, went up there. Solomon Islands. We were riding the lead of sailing the Solomon Islands.
Well, were these troops, were they New Zealanders or were they Americans?
No, they were
Americans, okay.
Anyway, we they around, come around, see what they did. Want to get out on top. So anyway, since we come around here, but here we
go. Gotta get it. Emery, why don't you kind of hold it right there on your lap, and I need to watch to make sure it doesn't
run out.
But go ahead, it's going. So you just picked up. You had been to New Zealand, and I'd ask you if.
Now that's going ahead now.
Yeah, it's going now. It's recording.
Now, when do I want to play this? Press and play.
Pardon?
Yep.
No, it's ready to go. It's recording right now. All we got to do is talk. I just want you to hold it so you make sure that it picks up your voice.
You want me to talk now?
Yeah. We okay. What happened?
We left with the troops from New Zealand. We had all that somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, we went to some island. I can't tell you the name of the island. And they practiced one day a landing. Mm-hmm. And then we went on to the Solomons. And we pulled into the Solomon Islands. Selfridge was in the lead as we pulled into the Solomon Islands. And we were in front of the entire fleet. And as we came between these two islands, there was a Japanese oiler, and he's taken across the bay. And we opened up on him with our guns, all guns. One burst of our guns, we sank him, set him afire, and he sank just that quick. So we pulled on into the Solomon Islands.
You know what I mean? I can hold it here if you want to go ahead.
Started landing troops on Guadalcanal. And right at first, we had very little opposition. And the Japanese started this airstrip over there. And the Marines, they went in, they took that over right quick. And so anyway, about the next morning, I guess it was, where the Japanese came down with some cruisers. What they call the Sable Island Battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out screening the landing ships. Anyway, they opened up over there. When the battle was over, we lost four cruisers, three Americans and one Australian cruiser. Anyway, that fellow was around there and could see the flashes of it. For the guns and hear the echoes. We still believe that there was a mix-up among the Americans and the Australians won. We always will believe Australians and one American sank each other, I don't know. But anyway, when this Japanese cruiser, it was set on fire, it didn't sink. And so anyway, the next day, we had orders. The blue went along, the destroyer went alongside and took off this. Everybody they could get off of it. They gave us orders to sink it. And so we fired three torpedoes, and it wasn't one of them worked. So
we're good. I tell you what, I'm going to bring this over here. Set this right here, like this, and then. We know you can. It's on. So okay. use
so it, anyway, we finally, I don't have any idea how many rounds of 5-inch ammunition into it, and it still hadn't sank, and another destroyer come alongside, fired one torpedo, and that put the coup de grace to it, and she went down. They didn't want to leave it there because they figured maybe the Japanese would float ashore and they'd get it out and be able to use it. And anyway.
Emory, where is a cruiser smaller than a destroyer?
No, cruiser's bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah.
And then a battleship?
The light cruisers have 6-inch guns, mm-hmm. and the heavy cruisers have 8-inch guns. That's the difference. Of course, the 8-inch is bigger, too.
Well, then is the battleship the next biggest?
The battleship, okay. Bigger, yeah. So anyway, next day, there come a bunch of Japanese high-level bombers. Boy, there was quite a bunch of them. And so they went over and they dropped a pattern of bombs. And these Australians, they all took pictures of it. And in these pictures, they had the beautifulest pattern of bombs out there you ever seen, but they never hit a ship. But
it's good.
Anyway, later, here comes some dive bombers. And when they came in, they got two ships. And dive bombers did. I don't remember how many were shot down, but anyway, they got two ships. They got one destroyer and one transport ship. And so then the next morning, we were still there and they were still unloading. And they planes or something. They spotted the Japanese are coming. They sent word to stand by for torpedo bombers, and they knew they were torpedo bombers. So they knew good and well these torpedo bombers would come right around the point of the island there, Guadalcanal, and drop into the harbor to get these ships. So they got all these ships underway up the bay. Boy, we were just going up the bay and tearing. And we was clearing the back end. They had to come right when they come around the bay and drop down there. No ships there. Here they were way up there, and all they could do is just pour the gas on and come up past us. So we sank six of them, or knocked six of them down. Boy, I'll tell you, that was exciting.
I bet.
And anyway, after it was over, there was one floating out there, two guys are hanging on to it. And so we run over there, and one of them, he dove down, drowned himself evidently, but the other knee hung on. And one old chief, he grabbed his 30-06 rifle, and he ran out, he was going to shoot him. And they took the rifle away from him because they wanted this guy to hit or talk to him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they sent we had one little boat on the side of the ship, you know. So they sent that out, and they picked him up, brought him in. So they locked him up in a little cage they had up on top that kept groceries in it, apples and taters and different things like that. They locked him up in that, so we all got a good look at him. They finally sent and took him to another ship where they had somebody that could talk Japanese.
How'd you feel about a guy like that, Everett? How'd you feel about a guy like that? Well, when you looked at him, I mean, did you hate him, or did you just kind of figure, you poor son of a bitch?
Well, you kind of figure, poor son of a gun, yeah. Of course, we hated Japanese anyway, Pearl Harbor, I'll always hate them.
Yeah. Well, I can see where you might feel that way.
Yeah, I will. anyway. We was there 2 or 3 days, and they got all the landings all done. And so anyway, they told us to get out of there because the Japanese were starting to come down. So anyway, the Japanese, they come down with some of their big artillery. And the poor guys, them poor Marines on the beach, they had it pretty tough.
Hindenburg and had a hard time keeping supplies to him, you know. And anyway, I'm on to it. That was our first kickback in the war.
So that anyway, that was the first American victory.
Victory.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah. So anyway, finally they sent us back over to Australia, and they put us up, running up around New Guinea, and we'd go up to New Guinea and patrol for 4 days, maybe a week, and then we'd come back and we'd stay at an island in the Great Barrier Reef. And so while we were in the Great Barrier Reef, we'd have a chance to go ashore, and they'd have a little Australian beer for you to drink, and you'd go and swim. So anyway, I went over one day, so I went out there. I seen a great big clam. Boy, he was a big one. And they lay that all, they open up. And if you step in one, boy, you're all done for. So anyway, I went back to the shore, found me a piece of wood. So I went out, not a piece of wood, but a
bar or something.
Bar of wood, you know. Anyway, I went back out and I beat around him, tried him loose out of the ring, so I got him up out and he closed up the door. So I took him up where they was drinking beer. I was going to take him back to ship. And, well, I thought that I'd get him out and save that sail. I thought that'd really be it was about 14 inches long, I imagine.
And
maybe that high, for that high. And anyway, these guys on the up there drinking beer, first thing I knew, they broke their knives out. Everybody had a knife, you know. And they broke their knives out and cut him open. So, anyway.
They cut him? Did they try to cook him?
No, they never did try to cook him. But anyway, I didn't get to take him back to the ship. But there was all kinds of shells are on that island, my God. Oh, yeah. You can just pick all kinds up. There was one.
Go ahead.
One little shell. I can't remember what we call it now. God, it's kind of pretty, you know. So, boy, we gathered up a bunch of them, took back the ship. My God, when they died, they about run you off the ship. You had to throw them all stunk, you know. Hell, they had some place to put them, dry them out, on the beach somewhere. It would have been pretty.
Well, was there a town of this island, or was this just a Navy base?
No, there was no town.
No. No people, no Navy.
No. They go up there to scuba diving. I've been there now. I imagine they've got places to stay there now, and stuff like that now, but there's nothing in. Anyway, we stayed there quite a few times, and ever so often we'd go down to either Brisbane or Sydney. Yes, we went down once to the Navy Yard in Sydney and had a great fire. And anyway, while we were there on that, they made two landings up in New Guinea, and we participated in helping these two landing. I'm not sure, but I think one was Ley and one I think was Finchhaven. But I'm not just positive on the location of them. But anyway, this second one landing we went into, I think it was the second we went in, and they had a bunch of troop ships, you know, or not troop ship. These ones run right up again the bank.
Amphibious?
Amphibious ones. And they were in. So they got all through, and we started back out of there. We just got out of there. Next thing, a bunch of Japanese fighter planes come in, went to strafe them. Before we whirled around and plank speed back in there, we went to shooting everything we had, all 5-inch guns and all random aircraft guns. Whether we knocked any of them down, I don't remember for sure. But anyway, they couldn't stay on there so long. before they had to leave, and we got back out.
Where would those planes have been based at?
I don't know.
Going on. They had no idea. Yeah,
the Japanese had
lots of islands
up through there. So then we went back down and till run up in this area, and they had the Midway Island battle. Yeah. And they gave everything they had over there, sent us up to New Guinea in case the Japs fooled them into going that way instead of coming toward Midway. But they went the way the Americans had picked up and figured it out, you know.
Yeah.
And if they'd come that way, we were supposed to fight a delayed battle. Hell, we wouldn't have hardly slowed them down. But what we had. They're pretty sure what they're doing.
That was a real turning point in the war.
That was
it?
A turning point in the war. Yeah. Well, anyway, we stayed there quite a while, and finally they sent us out to what they call run the slot in the Solomon Islands.
I read about that.
And anyway, this one guy started that one. They called him 30 Knot Burke.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went out. We joined that, and we'd lay in one night and rest, and we'd go up the next night and run up the slot. And if it was six or eight of us or ten, maybe we'd have a cruiser with us or not. And anyway, if the Japanese were trying to get off these islands, they had a bunch of barges they tried to take them off with. This last ship in line, he'd drop off and sink them damn barges. Of course, we didn't have any of the fun. We was the lead on. But anyway, we run the slot there.
How many ships were in one group, your group?
Well, sometimes there's three, sometimes there's six or eight of us. Okay. Never knew.
Yeah.
And this one night, we went up there, there's three of us. Anyway, it was just dark. They saw these Japs coming down, and there were nine Jap ships. And well, holy, they sent word to him. Sent word back, intercept, destroy. He started three other destroyers up to help us. And of course, they didn't get there in time. And anyway, about 11 o'clock at night, we picked them up. So we run in on them and throw torpedoes at them. What good our torpedoes done, I don't know. Anyway, they threw torpedoes at us too. And they hit the second ship in line at our. We were going three in line. And we was in the lead. And they hit the second ship in line. And when they hit it, it went sideways in the water. The third ship ran right into it, knocked about 30 feet off its bow. That just left us against the rest of these Japanese ships. We opened up gunfire, rapid fire. Boy, I don't know how long it was going. But anyway, I had the phones on in the engine room. And boy, these guys on topside, they were, I thought we were sinking the old Jap fleet the way they were hooping and hollering up there. Anyway, it one blowed up, and I think it was that cruiser that blowed up. It had been hit with torpedoes evidently first. And anyway, I think we finished it off with our gunfire. And there was two more at least that we know was sank. We sank at least three, and I kind of think maybe more than that. But anyway, the battle, they finally hit us with a torpedo, and there we lay dead in the water. When they hit us, it just felt like we stood on our nose a little bit. Then the water came down the air pipes. There we were dead in the water. And so anyway, others have finally come up, supposed to help us. But these Japanese, there's been any amount of them at all left out of these nine, you'd have thought they'd have circled around and finished us off. You know, they had us both dead in the water. But they didn't do it. So anyway, these other ships finally came up. So they came alongside and took all the injured off. Anyway, the captain, he said, no, I said, I just want a skeleton crew on here to take her in. He said, I want to be volunteers. So anyway, it was Don Wilson, my grand, he was on that.
Really?
And he came along. Says to me, he says, let's get on that ship, Molly. And I was the hell with that. I said, I'm staying with him. And I said, you get back to the States. I said, go out and tell my dad what happened to him. And I said, I'm staying with him.
Yeah.
So anyway, I set the watch for three of us in the engine room, just three of us. Had a chief, a first class petty officer, even down in the pumps. Mm-hmm. And I had the phones on, and I was running the throttle. And we started out after we got everything out of the ships. And so anyway, it went pretty quick.
I'm just going to move this a little closer when that furnace comes on. Go ahead.
Okay. This, they go along pretty quick. The chief, he come up to me and said, hey, Ollie, he says, I'm going up on top side. If you need me, I'll be up on top side. I'm going to get some fresh air. I said, okay, so anyway, I went along after a while. This first class, he come up and down the pumps. He came up, said, I'm going up and get a little fresh air. So he went up, and that left me all alone down in this engine room. And we was making about 10 knots, I imagine, through the water. Steaming about 20 knots to push a big bow. Wreckage. And anyway, they didn't come back, and they didn't come back. My God, come on about morning, they sent some other guys to take over the watch. And these guys up, and they were both drunk in hell. And they got up there, and they went up in the wreckage up in front,
yeah,
in the officer's quarters, and they found a quart of whiskey, and they drank that.
we can get that on the other tape. That's a good story.
Anyway, we started back, and of course we didn't have nothing but just hot water, you know. Didn't have no cold water to drink or nothing, because the entire cooling system was blowed off in the bow. So anyway, we had some, I think it was 52 cases of Australian beer in the after steer. So the captain, he ordered to break that out. So they broke that out, and they took firefighting meals, get what they call them anyway. They chopped up frozen beer, you know, like, mm-hmm, cool it off, and boy, we had a good time going down through the air. So anyway, we was all that day, and then the next night, and anyway, that day, while we were going, they told us that the Japanese sent a bunch of bombers out trying to get us, finish us off. Americans, they had enough planes up there, they drove them back within 20 miles of us. So, anyway, we pulled in down into the harbor down to the two loggy there in the Solomon. And all these ships, they had all the guys up on top side lined up, but boy, they were tooting their horns and all, and all of them are saluting us. Boy, we thought we'd whip the Jap fleet for sure. Boy, they really give us a welcome when we got in there.
How many guys, was it just the three of you on the whole boat, or just an engine?
I think about 50 of us.
About 50, but that's not very many.
That's not very many.
And because there was what, how many?
About 300.
300, so.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Anyway, we went down and went alongside of a repair ship. Mm-hmm. And so they're afraid the Japs would see us, so they made us cut a bunch of brush and stuff, put over top of the ship for a while. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they start digging through the wreckage, and So anyway, when we first got there, we had 13 or 14 bodies. People had just been killed in the battle. And so anyway, we took them over and buried them. And got over there. The Marines or somebody dug the rig for them. They had a wooden coffin to put them in. Just wood, plain wood. Knocked in them. That big. Anyway, they go over to dig that trench just far enough to get the little sand over the top. Flies was
biggest.
They had great big flies. And I went back to ship and I went right to the exec's office. I said, well, I'm killed at sea, bury me at sea. I said, I want that on my record. I don't want to be buried in a place like this. So anyway, when we started tearing the wreckage off, we found three or four more bodies in that. And so we took them over and buried them too. I had no desire to be buried in one of them either. I'm sure they probably brought all them bodies back to Pearl Harbor. But anyway, there was one guy, he was in the engine room. And anyway, he was doing battle, he was down the magazine in Mount 2. And all they found was his hand. And they knew it was his hand by this ring he wore all the time. And they buried that. He lived in Texas. I just wondered if they ever shipped that home. Yeah, right. That's all they would have got. Yeah. You never know. God, I'd hate my hell to ever tell them, you know.
Yeah. How much time elapsed from the time you got hit to the time you got back to this place? How many days?
Oh, it was two nights and one day.
Okay, I just kind of feel. So you had that beer to last you for two nights and one day.
Well, they run out. They find real. Some of them drank too much.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And that's where they cut the wreckage off?
Yeah, we went alongside this repair ship. I don't remember what the name of it was. Anyway, they put divers over there. And they cut wreckage. And got the wreckage all cut off. And then in the forward fire room, we jumped to two by fours and four by fours and stuff, and braced that good. We went 700 miles from there down to Noumea, New Caledonia. And anyway, when we pulled in the Noumea, we went into floating dry dock. And they put a little 13-foot bow on it.
You showed me a picture of that one
time.
Yeah. So you went 700 miles with no bow at all?
No bow at all.
No bow at all.
No.
How fast could you go?
Oh, we didn't go very fast. We did there.
No, I don't imagine.
Yeah.
Did it make it real hard to steer and control the ship?
No.
Huh.
It seemed to be pretty good. I guess it's up there somewhere. Anyway. They told us when we left that. Sent a little rig with us, and they didn't take all the crew with us. They cut the crew way down and sent some down on other ships or something. But anyway, we got out now. They put the new bow on when they all come back aboard. And then we started from there to the States. So anyway, we came up through Pago, we come up through there. And so when we got there, they had a big battle down there on one of them islands the Marines had. Most all the Marines got killed on that battle. And boy, they had mail there. And they stacked mail every place they could stack any mail on our ship to bring back to Pearl.
Oh, really?
Anyway, we came back and stopped in Pearl. came off the States. Just we got off Frisco, coming toward Frisco last night out. They picked up something they thought maybe it was a submarine out the radar business. And so we run around there. Had one guy in the engine room, he was scared to death. Now he was a first class petty officer too. Anyway, he told me, he said, "Hey, Oliver," he said, "you've been a holler to kill some of them damn Japs," he said. "They ever holler torpedo, don't you get in front of me because I'm going up that damn escape hatch," and he said. Boy, you're scared of me. Of course, I boarded on him pretty mad, too. How the hell, I said, this will be the hero make me sink a damn Jap submarine, you know. Hell, we probably the Jap submarine, probably sunk us. Anyway, they finally turned the searchlight on. Whole damn tree floating around with great big limbs.
Well, the engine room was a dangerous place to be, though, wasn't it? Wasn't the engine room the dangerous place to be on a ship?
Down below, engine room, fire room, that's a dangerous place to be. Of course, your magazines are dangerous too.
Yeah.
Anything down below.
An engine room and a fire room are the same thing?
Huh?
Or an engine room and the fire room the same thing?
The fire room got boilers. It
okay.
Got two boilers in each fire room.
Yeah.
They had two fire rooms.
Yeah.
Had four boilers all together.
Yeah.
And they had two engine rooms behind that. Forward engine room, uh-huh, and the after engine room.
I
was in the forward engine room.
Okay.